Greetings this morning in Christ's name. I've certainly been challenged. I've been blessed by the discussion and looking into God's Word. It's a challenge to me again as I thought of myself and delighting in God's Word. To ask myself the question, do I really delight in God's Word as He would want me to do that? I'd like to let that with us as a challenge as we go through this next week. Do we really delight? And as I think of the message before us, do we delight in God's ways? Do we delight in His will for our life? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15 for some opening thoughts. Deuteronomy chapter 15. We'll read some verses here, then we will turn to Exodus 21 and read some verses that are somewhat similar to what we find in Deuteronomy. Maybe with a few extra details in it there. This morning my thoughts are centered around servanthood. Been thinking about this for some time. There are a number of different angles that we could look at this from. The title for the message this morning is simply Servants Unto Christ. Sometime in the future, as the Lord directs, I would like to consider sharing a message more on the thought of being servants one of another. But I believe this needs to come first. I'd like to look at this thought this morning of servants unto Christ. And the burden on my heart is that somehow we could grasp a little more what is meant to be a servant. Do we find ourselves being a servant of the Lord? I trust that it's each one of our desire to be a servant of the Lord. I don't have any reason to believe otherwise. But I'm sure that we realize that as long as we live in the flesh, that it's something that we need to be reminded again and again. Being a servant runs contrary to the desires of the flesh. It takes a continual crucifying of the flesh. And here in Deuteronomy are some instructions, some things I'd like for us to notice, some instructions that were given to Israel on how they were to relate to those who were servants among them, how they were to relate to those slaves, a person who was working for another person for whatever reason. So at the beginning here, I'd like to look more specifically at what a servant was and help us to see more of this thought of taking that into each of us in our personal lives being servants unto Christ. Begin reading here, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondwoman, a bondman, in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing, this today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl, and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also thy maidservant. Thou shalt do likewise. Stop reading there. The main verse here that I want for us to think about, to get a little hold of, is verse 17. Thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. Okay, now let's turn to Exodus 21. Again, saying similar to what it did here in Deuteronomy, Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve. And in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Perhaps this morning, this thing of a servant or a slave is a bit remote to us. I've certainly never been through a situation like we read here, and I don't think any of us here have. Here in this time that we read about, a person often became a slave or a servant because of possibly some debt that he owed or something like that. And think with me a bit about this servant, this man that was serving his master. Think about what it meant. Here was this man. He owed something to him. Think about what all this meant to him. This man was serving his master for whatever reason. This man had a good master who cared for him. That's what it's talking about here in chapter 21. It says he loved his master. His master cared for him. The master gave him a place to live. He found him a wife. They had some children. Remember, this man still owns nothing. He owns nothing. He belongs to his master. He makes no money for himself. He has no money. He is simply there at the mercy of his master. He is simply serving his master, but he's enjoying life. He's enjoying it because he loves his master, and his master is treating him well. Well, the day comes when by law the master must allow him to go free. He comes to the seventh year, and the law is to set him free. Now, think about what must be going through this man's mind who now has a decision to make. He has the right to be set free. And he has a decision to make. He now has the opportunity to go free, go his own way. He has the opportunity to be his own boss. He has the opportunity to do his own thing. He has his own opportunity to hoe his own row, as it were. We hear that term. But this man thinks about it. He remembers how good he has had it with his master. There was kindness. His deeds were all met plus some. When he was sick, his master took good care of him. He was well taken care of. There was good relationships that they had. There was good relationships built. And so he decides, because of his love for the master, because of his love for his family, I'm going to forfeit my right to be free. He voluntarily forfeits his freedom to do his own thing and to go his own way. He voluntarily gives all of that up and gives himself to his master for the rest of his life. Can we picture that? Can we picture really what this man was doing? It's hard for me to really picture that. This morning I'd like to bring this message to the point of how this relates to us and our Master Jesus Christ. This man here voluntarily made the choice to give up the right to go free. He voluntarily did that. He gave himself to his master for the rest of his life. What happened then? The seal of that decision, or the testimony of that decision, was to go to the doorpost of the doorway of his master's house. And there he would allow, think of this, boys, he would allow his master to take an awl, take a punch. You're probably familiar with what a punch is, and take his ear and lay it up against the doorpost and take that awl, that punch, and punch a hole in it. Run that through his ear. Think about that. Make a hole in his ear. And this was a seal of this man's decision to serve his master for the rest of his life. And a lot went with that. The fact of having his ear pierced or punched in that way was proof that he was willing. He was saying to his master that I am committed to serving you for the rest of my life. No questions asked. Does that impress you this morning? How could a person do that? This servant was saying, I have no agenda of my own anymore. For the rest of my life, I'm not going to have my own agenda. Master, I'm at your mercy. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. When that man walked to the doorpost to have his ear pierced through, that is really what he was saying. He was saying, your will is my will. I'm yours for the rest of my life. I'm free to serve you. Yes, he was free. He was at the end of the seventh year. He could have been set free. But no, he wanted to serve his master. You know, as I thought about that, we could fairly casually think about that and think, well, it says here that he had it good. He had it well. His master treated him well. It says he loved his master. But again, think a little more what it meant to that man, to that servant as he was doing this. It meant that from now on, or he would continue this way for the rest of his life, taking orders from his master. It meant that he would always do everything his master's way. It meant that even his wife and children would still be the master's. How would we like that? It meant that all that he had was the master's. It meant that he would never own anything. It was the property of the master's. It meant that all of his life's ambitions, we know what that is. We have ambitions for life. We have desires in life. It meant that all of his life's ambitions, all the desires that a man would have in life to accomplish things, all of that was laid at the feet of his master. Think about that. Try to picture yourself in that place. How could he do that? How could he really do that? You know what it was? The bottom line was he loved his master. He loved his master. He had a great love for him. In the society that we live in today, I believe it's hard for us to grasp what all this really meant. You know, we are somewhat used to doing our own thing. We're used to being our own boss, and if we do work with someone else in business, we get reimbursed for our services. We get paid. Well, many times in history, it was not that way. It has not always been that way. There are many who worked for simply a place to live and something to eat. I'd like for us to look in the scriptures now and take a look at what it meant, what it means to be a good servant. What is involved in being a useful servant of the Lord? Keeping in mind some of these things that already mentioned, what we looked at here in Scripture. We understand that we are servants of the Lord. First of all, let's turn to Psalm 123. Psalm 123. Read verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Once again, let's picture what it's saying here. It's talking about a servant and a maiden or a maidservant looking at the hands of the master. Can you picture a servant? Maybe we could even picture ourselves when we are working for someone. We intently watch them. We listen as instructions are given on what and how to do something. We try to understand how our master, how our boss, whatever you want to say, wants us to do something. That is the picture I get here, that of the eyes of the servant looking at the hands of the master, intent on following the instructions as best as they could. That's what it meant to be a good servant, doing exactly what the master wanted him to do. Let's turn now to 1 Peter chapter 2. We have some more on what it means to be a good servant. 1 Peter chapter 2. Begin reading in verse 18. Let's read verses 18 through 20. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. In order to be a good servant of the master, the servant must be subject. The servant must be subject to the master. It says, be subject to your masters with all fear or with all respect. And not just to the ones that treated them well, but also to the ones that treated them possibly in nasty ways. That is what was expected of a good servant, to simply be submissive to their master. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2, simply bringing out some scriptures here to help us understand what it meant and what it still means today to be a good servant. Titus chapter 2, verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Here again, we get a little glimpse of what was expected of a good servant. It says to please them well in all things, to serve the best they could. It also says not answering again. I believe that simply means to not be arguing, not be talking back, resisting what the master wanted. Rather, try to please. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Once again, bringing out what was expected of a good servant. A good servant would give good measure in whatever he was doing. This morning we were talking about wanting to be servants of the Lord Jesus. And what does it mean to be that good servant? It simply means to give ourselves completely, give our all, give everything. Give ourselves completely over to him, to give beyond what we would think we need to give. I'd like for us to spend a little bit of time in looking at the example of Jesus. What did this servanthood mean to Jesus? Jesus certainly is our perfect example. Christ is our supreme example. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 tells us exactly what Jesus came to do. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a life, a ransom for many. Jesus Christ came as a servant. He came not to be ministered to, or we could say he came not to be served, but to serve. What did it mean to Christ to be a servant? It meant leaving glory for a time. It meant taking on human flesh. It meant having no place to call his own. In one place he told his disciples that he hath not even a place to lay his head. To Jesus it meant not doing his own physical desires, but the will of the Father. It meant going through the agony that he faced there in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is there that we see the true heart of a servant, where he said, "If it be thy will, remove this cup from me." That was his flesh crying out for his natural inclinations. But then he says, "Not my will, but the Father's." Not my will, but the Father's. There we see a genuine commitment of a servant. The will of the Father, that is what it meant to Jesus to be a servant. It meant going and going and going until he was weary in the flesh, and then going some more. It meant spending all night praying to the Father. It meant humbly accepting wrong accusation. He was even accused of being illegitimate. What did it mean to Jesus to be a servant? It meant to go and seek the outcasts. He was here to serve no matter who, no matter whether it was the rich or the poor. What did it mean to Jesus to be a servant? It meant sweating as though it were great drops of blood there in the garden. It meant to be mutilated more than any man has been mutilated. Scripture says that his visage was so marred more than any man. That is what it meant to Jesus to be a servant. Finally, to Jesus, it meant dying on the cross so that we can live. Jesus was a servant. Are you ever tempted to feel like you have to sacrifice a lot to be a servant? I believe if we're honest with ourselves, we probably feel that way at times. Well, certainly we don't have to look far. As we look at the sacrifice of Jesus, anything we have to sacrifice looks quite small. Looks quite small as we look at what it meant to Jesus to be a servant. Turn to a few other verses yet, of examples of Jesus. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 27. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Jesus speaking here. I am among you as he that serveth. Turn over to John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. We have the account where he gives the example, institutes the ordinance of feet washing. John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Here is Jesus introducing this thought of feet washing. Jesus is demonstrating to his disciples as well as to us today what it meant by being a servant. He stooped down as low as he could get to wash his disciples' feet. What does that mean to us today? It's all a part of being a servant. Summing this up as far as Jesus' example of servanthood, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. A very worthy example of servanthood for us to follow. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 through 8. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a worthy example of servanthood for us to follow. Are we getting the picture as we look at these examples? Are we getting a picture of what it means to be a servant? My burden is that we understand enough of what it means to be a servant, that we understand what it means to be a servant of Christ. As I alluded to already, this servant mentality is in stark contrast to the human nature within us. Human nature wants to be honored. It wants to be lifted up. But to be a true servant, we must be abased. We must see ourselves as nothing. We must be humbled. Again, servanthood is in contrast to what our human the human nature within us wants. And I believe that's why it's good for us to think about this from time to time. Look at what a servant really is. The big question for us this morning is, am I serving Him as I am called to? Am I really serving Christ as I've been called to? I have a number of questions I would like for us to consider. Do we look at our Master, Jesus Christ, as that man did there in Exodus, as he looked at his master, that man who had his ear pierced for the master? Do we see ourselves as servants waiting on our master? Do we see ourselves as nothing and Christ as everything? Some things that we can evaluate ourselves here, some questions to ask. Do we see ourselves in relationship to God as that man likely did, where he was completely giving himself? Do we feel the same way about serving our Master? There can be no agenda that we may have. We must lay all things, everything, at the feet of our Master. Is that my testimony? Is that where I find myself? Do we think about it in all that is around us and all that we have? Do we think about all those things as being the Lord's? Those things don't even belong to us. The things that we have, are they the Lord's? Do we give Him complete control of our life in the decisions, in all of the decisions? Is it too simplistic to give Christ, our Master, control of every decision of our life? That's what it means to be a servant. When God says go, do we go? When He says come, do we do that? Do we come? That is what it means to be a servant. We respond to all of God's directions in life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Begin reading in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Here again, we have another picture of a servant. He was out in the field, toiling away, working hard, and he comes in. Now, we would tend to think that if a man was out there working all day, that, well, maybe he had a right to be served when he came in. Well, it's clear that this servant was to serve. He served out in the field, and then he comes in, he came in, and he served there as well. He served others, then he served himself last. That, again, is the attitude of a true servant. Do we ever have those times where we just feel that now, you know what, I have the right to be served. I've served. Now it's my turn to be served. Well, again, I believe if we're honest with ourselves, we would say that maybe we feel that way at times. Well, a true servant will do as Jesus did. He kept right on serving others, those about him. Another thought I want to touch on is sometimes we serve in hopes of being reimbursed for it. You know what I'm talking about? We serve with it in mind of somehow getting a benefit out of this. Somehow I'm going to be reimbursed for it. That is not the thought of a servant. That is not the thought of a true servant. A genuine servant is one that will serve and serve regardless whether he gets anything out of it or not. God is not responsible to bless because we serve him. It is not our right to be blessed because we serve him. That is not the reason that we do it. That is not the reason that we serve him. We serve him because of who he is in our life. Certainly God does pour out blessings upon those who serve him, and we're thankful for We're thankful to the Lord for that. But finally, God does not owe it to us. Another thing that works against servanthood is the desire to be noticed and be someone great. We could turn to Mark chapter 10. I don't believe we'll take the time to do that. But here the disciples were discussing who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus had some things to say to them. He talked to them about that, about whosoever will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all, and talked about being great. One verse, I believe, was, and so, trying to think how it's worded anymore, so shall it be among you, but whosoever will be great shall be your minister. He talked to them about this. Do we find fulfillment in humbly serving in a quiet, unnoticeable way? Again, that is not the natural tendency. The natural tendency is for us to want to be seen. We want to be heard. However, Jesus teaches us exactly the opposite. He says, if you want to be great, then you must become small. If you want to be great, then you must become a servant. That is true servanthood. What does it mean to be quietly in an unnoticeable way serving the Lord? I thought of a number of things. I believe it's things like encouraging one another, reaching out to those who are struggling, pray for one another. Maybe it's giving up my idea, my plan, my ambition to help my brother, to help someone in need. Maybe it's to go and bind the wound of a brother or sister, whether it's a spiritual wound or whether it's a physical problem. We have the account in Luke chapter 10, the well-known account of the example of the Good Samaritan. And there are two verses there, verses 36 and 37. Luke chapter 10 says this, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise." Are we able to do as this lowly Samaritan did? He did what needed to be done. That is what it meant to be a servant. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." This is the law of Christ, to help one another, to bear one another's burdens. The Gospels are full of accounts where Christ did just that. Verse 10, there in Galatians 6 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." I believe God would have us to look for opportunities, have us to make opportunities. There are opportunities all around us to serve. Am I willing to lay down my busy schedule? Am I willing to lay down what I personally think is important right now? Lay it down and serve. That's a challenge to each of us. It's a challenge to me. That is what Christ left to us for an example. In closing, I'd like to read a number of verses. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, read verses 45 through 51. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's turn now over to Luke chapter 12. Some verses are similar, yet have some different thoughts as well. Luke chapter 12. Begin reading in verse 37. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve him. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter saith unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." The Lord himself is going to serve those who are serving now. This is a serious matter I take out of this scripture of being servants. Someday, if we are faithful in serving here, serving our master with the best of our ability, giving ourselves completely to him, someday all of the faithful servants, he will serve at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I'm looking forward to that time. What a blessed time that will be, when we are rewarded for living a life of following Christ, living a life of servanthood. What kind of servant am I this morning? Is my ear pierced for the Master? Have I given my all to him? It's a challenge that I let, first of all, with myself, and a challenge for each of us to think about as we evaluate our lives. in whether or not we are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.